the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Congresswoman, how important is a public option for you to support it?
I don't know, not having been there and not seeing all the facts.
Chief, when you said she admitted to the murder, was that there at the scene when she's saying,
I can't be without socks. I can't wear a sweatsuit.
I don't know where my husband is.
Was he dressed as a male?
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about, you know. And this is a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is the bitch and everything else, just forget about it, okay? And this is a news, talk, and entertainment show that, yeah, you know, I want to stay on the air and I want to stay employed, but I ain't going to come on here and do some bullcrap tap dance because I'm a conservative or a liberal. And I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to use you people as a means to an end. And what's the end? Be rich. And how am I using you? Basically making you stupid? No, thank you. No, I, you know what? I got to live in this world just the same as you guys. And so that's really what the mission of this show is. And also to keep Bud sober.
Yeah, get that Mambo.
Good. Put the Mambo in the icebox. I happen to have a weakness for Mambo malt liquor.
Yeah, real good.
Yeah, I like it. Anyway, so on this show, that's what we do, and we do it every night. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and on our website, philhendryshow.com, you can listen to live streaming audio, and you can hear that audio on demand tomorrow. You can hear all of our shows on demand at our website. You can listen to our show throughout the country on a variety of great affiliates, or you can watch our live streaming video, which is going right now. So you can watch the damn show as I sit here and sweat my ass off in this freaking pressure cooker.
Well, I got that fan.
But the fan you got me, man. Look at that. I can show this to the folks at home on our video. Look at that fan. That's the fan that Bud got me. See this? This thing, this wouldn't cool off a gnat, man.
Yeah, but look at that. I can stick my finger in it.
So you can stick your finger in it. So what?
And look, I put my face in it.
Get your face out of the fan. It's got one of these fabric, blades, you know, so. But that's where that's at, you know, and I suppose if I wasn't so cheap, I'd put central air in, but hey, what would that do? Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL. We have Doug Danger coming up at the bottom of the hour in the world according to Doug Danger. Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist, and GLAAD gave out its gay awards, and so Doug's going to tell us what he thinks of all that gayness in only the way a gay guy can, a gay journalist, a gay man, never mind. A woman living in the North Side Uptown neighborhood of Chicago is being sued for allegedly posting on her Twitter account a tweet that accuses her management company of being okay with moldy apartments. Now, understand what this story's about, guys, and we always like doing these stories having to do with the internet and anonymous tweeting. Now, I don't know, was she anonymous or not? Well, let me find out here. Horizon Group Management sued Amanda Bonin on Monday for publishing a false and defamatory tweet on Twitter. That's what they're claiming, that it was false and defamatory. For all I know, it's true. Maybe their apartments smell like living death. Maybe if you move into a Horizon Group Management apartment, you might as well be sealed in a crypt with your own filth. I lived in an apartment complex. Oh, God. Oh.
Not that story.
Yes, that story. Yes. I lived in an apartment complex in Hollywood, Florida, when I was down there working for the great WIOD radio. And I'm telling you, you'd have to smell it to believe it. Honest to God, you had to. Because now where I lived up on the seventh floor. But for some reason, somebody said to me, you know, the quickest way to your car is to go through the downstairs. I said, okay. I walked down the hall of this thing, and it smelled like there were 100 diapers stuffed with baby dung just lining the hallways. And there was nothing there, but it smelled like the walls were filled with diapers, filled with full diapers.
Maybe they had that insulation. Yeah, it's possible.
No, they don't use baby diapers for insulation, man.
No, but, I mean, when they run out, they usually insulate a baby diaper. Yeah, and then they left it packed and fully loaded.
But they ain't going to take a baby diaper that's packed and fully loaded and insulate a wall with it, man. That's not how you do that, okay?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't know. I worked in construction, did you?
Yeah.
No. I worked in the construction trade. Did you?
Yeah, but what about the fully loaded?
No, that's not what I'm asking you. Did you work in the construction trade?
No.
Okay, I did.
Did you put a diaper in?
No, I never put a diaper in, man. We used drywall. And we had studs. And we had, you know, fiberglass, all that crap. And we had all that, you know, illegal insulation that they used in the 70s that they don't use anymore. Anyway, I would walk down the hall of this thing on my way to my car and I'd just say, oh, baby, somebody open a window. And there were no windows. It was a sealed hallway with doors leading to apartments. I had no idea how people walked out into that hallway every day and got to their car without passing out from the stench. It was unbelievable, man. It had to be some violation of environmental law somewhere.
Well, you know, technically it's not a violation of environmental law because, in other words, it doesn't kill it. It won't kill a mouse or nothing like that, right?
What do you mean, kill a mouse?
Well, he means it would kill an aminal.
No, it ain't going to kill no aminal, man. What I'm saying is it's got to be a violation of environmental law if something stinks like rotten death. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. Unless they're going to kill an animal, there's no reason. There's no reason, you know, to not have.
Well, yes, there is, man, because am I an animal?
No, you're a man.
But I'm a person, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm walking down a hall and it smells as if I've been sealed in a crypt with thousands of filled baby diapers, you're telling me that I have no rights not to have to smell that.
No, because are you an endangered species? No, you are not. And right there.
Oh, well, you got me on that one, man. Well, I'm telling you right now, I think that they should have not only shut the whole apartment complex, which left me homeless, but I would rather live in the street than have to live in that stench. Not only should they have shut it down, they should have just blown it up, man, the way they do those hotels in Vegas. Just, boo, you know, have a party. Oh, God. Unbelievable. So Amanda Bonin posts on her Twitter account that the Horizon Group management apartment complex that she lives in stinks like death on wheels. Stinks as if Nefertiti's been in there. And, you know, every dead man, every dead pharaoh from here to yesterday. According to the lawsuit filed, though, by Horizon Group management, because she said this on her Twitter account, and it was filed in Cook County Circuit Court, Bonin wrote an update that said, "Who said sleeping in a moldy apartment was bad for you? Horizon Realty thinks it's okay." I guess it's not anonymous because she's got a Twitter account with her name on it. Because Bonin's Twitter account is set to public, everyone following on Twitter can view the defamatory statement according to the lawsuit. Bonin was living in an apartment managed by Horizon Group Management. Horizon Group Management has been greatly injured in its reputation as a landlord, according to the lawsuit. I suppose that happens, and that's really kind of the point, Horizon Management Group. The suit seeks in excess of $50,000 in damages. Now, here's where I stand on all of this. Not only do I think Horizon should be allowed to sue, I also feel that you should be allowed to sue and obtain the name of anonymous commenters if their comment is defamatory and libelous. It doesn't make any difference whether they're anonymous or not. They're saying something that can damage your reputation. And so, therefore, you need to sue. Now, if the company or the web hoster doesn't want to give the name out, well, then sue their ass. Sue the guy that's hosting the website. Why do you think Juicy Campus got shut down? That cat that was running that figured, oh, well, I'm clean as a baby's rear end, man. Nobody could sue me because the internet law of 1996, whatever the hell that is, protects my ass. Well, guess what? No, it don't. That's why he shut that site down, not because of any other reason. He shut it down because he knew he was exposed. They can't find out who the people are that are posting these comments? Well, guess what? Now you're sued, man, because the law still holds. A defamatory or slanderous statement is just that. Now here's the side that Amanda may want to look at. First of all, in order for something to be libelous, it has to be false. If they find out that the Horizon Management Group apartments that she lives in stink like running death, well, then Horizon can't say that their reputation's been damaged because their reputation is of a company that provides housing for people who enjoy living in crypts that smell of their own filth. And therefore, Horizon Management Group, or Horizon Group Management, or however they're, you know, calling it, your ass is up for grabs. How do you feel about that one, man? And if I were you, cats, before you're filing lawsuits against Amanda Bonin, go on in and take a good deep whiff of what it is she's talking about. Like maybe you cats haven't been around for the last several years, you know? You've been greatly injured? Maybe. Maybe not. Because if she shows up with about 15 depositions from people saying that the joint stinks as if, you know, it smells as if somebody hasn't taken a bath, and maybe everybody in the place hasn't had a bath in thousands and thousands of years, you guys are going to have a hard time saying that your reputation's been damaged. That's numero one. And then number two, of course, you have to prove that your reputation's, but you have to find people yourself who think, oh, well, Horizon Group Management, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Man, I wouldn't live in any other apartment than a Horizon Group Management apartment. Why, I just love the smell of a baby's rear end, especially after it's just had a little bit of leaky Gerber's diarrhea. I just dig it a lot, man. You have to find a whole bunch of people that think you are the living end, baby, when it comes to apartments. And then they're going to say, and I used to like living there, but I don't like living there anymore because Amanda Bonin said that you cats run places that stink as if somebody, you know, somebody hasn't wiped in days. In which case, you got a case. You have a, you know, you can prove that to a jury or a judge or whatever the hell you think is going on. But before you start suing people, all of these landlords, I love, especially these absentee landlords, these big companies. That's I got news for you, man. Nobody's on your side. Not anybody that's lived anywhere where you guys run things. 877-876-PHIL. Coming back, don't forget the bottom of the hour, we got Doug Danger. The GLAAD Awards, they gave good marks to HBO, Showtime, and ABC, but fails to CBS and NBC. We'll find out what Doug thinks about that and the world according to, coming up in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Every night until 1 o'clock on a West Coast Forum and East Coast in video. And boy, we get into some uncensored commentary during the breaks on our video feed that I won't even go there, man. I won't even go there. Although there was one series of comments that that I was talking with Jason, with Ralph about while we were in the break. And that was I don't know what this is. And I take this fully on my own shoulders. This is my responsibility. But lousy bad smells, that goes right to the anger center of my brain. Why I get pissed off when someone stinks to high heaven, you know?
What's that about? And what's that? You're getting pissed at me.
Then why don't you take a bath? A bath.
Yeah, I want to take a shower instead of a bath. Only girl take a bath.
Good point.
Oh, okay, good point. Anything, man. A fire hose. Run through some sprinklers. 877-876-PHIL. When we come back, we have Doug Danger coming back in the next segment, and he'll be talking with us about the GLAAD thing. We also have our world according to, actually, Life Imitates Phil. See, where the hell is this? Oh, yeah, the Washington Post dude that was ripping us off this morning. Let's go to a phone call here in Joplin, Missouri, and we have Josh. Josh, what's going on tonight?
Oh, not much. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Just real quick about this whole spread out program that I was listening to a while ago. It seems to me that we have an ongoing problem in this nation of role reversal. Seems like today we expect adults to act as kids, and kids to take on the responsibility of adults with their decisions. And, you know, if I wanted to go and get STD tested, or if my wife wanted to go and get a pregnancy test and all that, we can do so without having to inform our parents. Why? Because we are consenting adults.
Right.
Our children, however, do not have that right. Why is it that we expect adults to go out, and we have things out there, you know, we tag everything with the word adult, such as adult drinks, adult videos, adult novels.
But your point is the children are not required, and the school is not required to inform the parents, right? And that's what you're taking exception to.
Right. I don't understand that.
Well, I agree. I agree with you, Josh, up to a point. Unfortunately, some of these kids, in informing their parents of these tests or of an abortion or of any of these other very adult things that you're right in pointing out, run the risk of confronting an adult that isn't very understanding, in some cases might even react violently.
And it goes back to my point, as adults are acting as children. If adults would act as adults, we wouldn't have that problem.
We got a real quandary in this country, and I say that with all honesty.
Oh,
we need to protect children, because we have found through practical experience that children are not always protected by the adults who are charged with their care. That they are abused, that they are victims of violence, that they are manipulated and used in ways that are illegal. And as a society, you and me and everybody, every other responsible human being out there, we got to make this decision. Okay, when do we step in and say, we got to do something here, because this child is a minor and is not responsible for itself yet and needs to be protected. And where do we, and you know, all you got to do is open up a newspaper, or listen to a newscast, or read a website to find out every day there is a society at odds with some parents who are not behaving like human beings. But in their opinion, they are, and they think that the government's trying to tell them what to do. For instance, the Warren Jeffs group down there with that weird-ass thing that they're doing. So it's very highly charged, and I would say that the answer to the question is the following. If you want to inform parents, then you go there yourself physically as the responsible representative of the school, and you say to the parents with the child there, this is the situation that we have are intending to remedy, and we want you to know about it, and we're going to tell you what the results are ourselves. So make this adult to adult and take the child out of the equation. And that might be the answer. I don't know. I appreciate your call very much, sir.
That there is the problem. Is that's what the schools are not doing. They're not.
Well, then we can legislate that
ability to be able to lead, guide, and direct their children.
I understand. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876 Phil. All right. So, it's a tough thing, man. You know, the hell.
What would you do?
If I was running a school, I'd say, all right, here's the deal. What's the thing? I'm pregnant. I don't want my parents to know about it. We're going to go there with you, and we're going to inform the parents ourselves as adults, and you can be there or not, as the case may be, and we want them to know, and we'll be monitoring the situation, yada, 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 like that, and there you go, and thanks a lot, and get out of here. Time now for Life Imitates Phil.
That was very sensitive of you.
Well, I got to get moving here, okay? Life Imitates Phil. Today, in an online chat, Washington Post reporter Ben Pershing was asked why birthers and other conspiracy theorists, such as those claiming that former top Clinton White House aide Vince Foster was murdered, get play on the real media, while others, such as the 9/11 truthers, don't. Whatever, okay? This is from Think Progress. Ben Pershing said, perhaps there is an actual videotape of the planes hitting the World Trade Center that billions of people around the world have seen. While there is no videotape of Obama being born in Hawaii or Vince Foster committing suicide. That's exactly what Larry Grover said on our show last night. So we claim, Ben Pershing, you listened to our show last night. You repeated your chat, you thief.
This has been Life Imitates Phil.
Thank you. So we're calling you out, you thieving, no good, stinking
Jew.
Don't say. We're joking about that, Ben. We're just kidding. And we'll be doing more of those as the as time permits, of course, here on our program, Life Imitating Phil. All right, coming up, we got Doug Danger, and he's going to be talking about the GLAAD Awards. And in the time that we have remaining in this segment, I just want to tell you what the GLAAD Awards are.
That's a bunch of queers.
You shut up. The GLAAD Awards. All right, here we go. The GLAAD Awards are the gay, lesbian, anti, you know, anyway. The Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, a bit that aired on Conan last night, addresses the GLAAD report. I guess they thought that this was anti-gay or something.
A recent study by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation gave NBC an F for its lack of gay characters. Actually, this past season on NBC was full of gay characters, such as the banker from Deal or No Deal, Kit, This dog on an episode of Law & Order Criminal Intent. This producer on ER. Pretty much all the American Gladiators. And La Bamba. NBC. We couldn't be more gay.
That was a Conan O'Brien show.
And was he dressed as a male?
Yes, he was. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. So Doug Danger coming up the world according to next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and coming up, Doug Danger in our World According To. Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist, a reporter, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier here in California, and we'll be commenting on the GLAAD report that gives gives passing marks, gives good marks to HBO, Showtime, and ABC in terms of their representation of gay characters, but gives failing grades to CBS and NBC. What? The home of, what the hell was that one gay show?
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams?
You said what gay show?
No, man, that's the news. I mean, the gay show.
He's talking about Will and Grace.
Will and Grace. Will and Grace. You mean you didn't dig that swishy cat that they had on that show for all the seasons they were on? Like, you didn't go, chuckle, man, you know, chuckle, chuckle. That Will and Grace having that swishing clown, I forget who he was. That would be like if Cosby had some step and fetch it dude walking in. Or even better, if Cosby had a character that was a white guy in blackface. That's, you know, that's about where that's at, NBC. Do you understand, finally? Not that you give a crap what GLAAD is saying. Because here again, ladies and gentlemen, is the point that I'm trying to make. NBC doesn't care what GLAAD thinks if it doesn't hurt them in terms of audience and the pocketbook. And so on and so forth, right? Sean Hayes played the squishy guy. NBC didn't care. CBS doesn't care. HBO doesn't give a sweet crap. HBO just wants subscribers. And so it goes. So understand that this is the motivator. What motivates is audience acceptance, the cultural acceptance. GLAAD is not educating anybody to anything unless people get it. GLAAD should be actually... Forget about giving out awards to networks. GLAAD should be working out in the straight community to get people to understand what's damaging, what ain't, what's good, what ain't. All right, let's go over to a phone call here. Conrad in Minneapolis. What's on your mind tonight, Conrad?
I was going to talk to you about the prejudice thing, the Jeff Beck deal, what he said.
Jeff Beck? You mean the former lead guitar player for the Yardbirds?
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, okay.
My bad. Yeah, I don't listen to that guy, but you're right. He's way out there on a lot of things. I am a Republican, but can't really stomach him that long. But I'll tell you, though, if you know, I caught your soundbite on what he said. I got to agree with it, but it's not because of what he said. It's because what I've been, you know, hearing and, and I grew up north side, went to a black school, a white kid. And I'll tell you, you know, the racism on that side is as strong, if not stronger, than what I've heard on my side. And I'm white. So,
all right. Well, what about you think Obama's a racist, or do you think that
I do believe, you know, like, you know, I've been arrested on disorderly conduct and whatnot. The thing is, when a cop says stop, you know, it's you know, you got to shut up. Otherwise, you're stopping the process. So yeah, they'll throw you.
I agree.
Or whatever. All right, but
I agree.
The reason I think Obama's a racist is just about what he's doing. I mean, he's talked in the past. You know, when they're talking about reparations and things, you know, he says, well, they don't go far enough. Well, what is he saying then? I mean,
what issue are you talking about when he says they don't go far enough? Reparations?
Yeah, well, he's talked on some of the things I've heard with Obama. He was asked, you know, how does he stand on that? And he doesn't agree with him. You know, he doesn't think they go far enough. So my thing is, he's been implanted. I mean, not in,
that's all right.
You know, he's been, they kind of blame Whitey on it, You know, so yeah, he's got
it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible to wait. It's impossible to be black in America and not be around people like that. That's number one.
You're exactly
right. You know, it's impossible to be black. It's impossible to be black in America and probably not be around people that have real contrary views. All right, that's one thing. I never got hung up on it. The other thing. Hold on for a minute. The other thing is about Obama saying reparations don't go far enough. Well, that's an opinion about so-called reparations for the descendants of African slaves. I don't necessarily mean that makes the cat a racist because he may have some extreme opinion on that. I don't think it's about sticking it to Whitey. I don't think it's about sticking it to Whitey. I think it's about justice. Now, he may be wrong. I personally don't think that reparations are due the descendants of people. I think reparations are due people who were affected by something. The Japanese people, in turn. If we actually had any living slaves among us today, yes, they are entitled to reparations.
But they're
even he isn't entitled to reparations, I don't think.
The
fact is, now, none of that stuff makes the guy a racist. It just means that he holds opinions contrary maybe to what a lot of white folks would. That's my opinion. And I'm sticking with it.
I've had really good friends. Yeah. And I know firsthand what they did. You know, and how they've been brought up. So it kind of.
All right. I appreciate it, Conrad.
All right, man.
I appreciate your call, man. I appreciate it very much. That's Conrad. You know, the cats, he's right. You know, there's all kinds of weird asses. By the way, I just saw Glenn Beck on TV.
Was he dressed as a male?
Nobody was wearing lederhosen. 877-876-PHIL. He was wearing some kind of costume, which befits someone hanging around a brew house. All right. Doug Danger is on the line with us. Doug is from the Orange County Courier. As you know, he's our entertainment reporter from the Orange County Courier. And, Doug, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right, Phil. I appreciate very much you having me on a program, to talk a little bit about, I hope you can hear what I'm doing in here because it's very loud.
Are you in the newsroom?
I am in our newsroom right now. We're trying to file our last report of the night.
Doug, you saw the report here from GLAAD. It was the report on the relative treatment of by the networks of gay characters in their programming. HBO offers the most and best depictions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people.
Can I just interrupt you here for a second, Phil? Because I'm not really interested in GLAAD. I'm interested more in whether or not I got as a gay man, as a gay journalist. You know I'm gay, and I've been gay all of my life. I came out at a time when it was difficult to come out a couple of months ago, and since that time I've tread a long and difficult road in trying to explain that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, I have never heard GLAAD in all the years that I've been on your program saying that I'm gay, saying that I'm a gay man, saying that I'm gay yet again, and then I'm a gay journalist and the all-encompassing gay, which is a five-step. They have never offered me an award. They have never said that Doug Danger, who is a gay man and a gay journalist and has reported with honesty using my gay sensitivity, my gay speculation, or my gay, the way I don't know what you call it, the way I look at stuff.
Well, you're reporting, your journalism.
Say again?
Your ability to see a story.
My ability to see a story, right. GLAAD's never given me an award.
Well, this is a report, Doug, about different TV shows?
No, I know what it's about. It's about how, whether or not NBC took that swish. You were talking about Sean Hayes, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not that swish and queer, excuse me for saying that, but I mean, they're not going to give him an award. I understand they're not going to give him an award. But, boy, I just saw Glenn Beck make a motion with his hand and put his tongue in his cheek, and he was looking at Bill O'Reilly.
All right, never mind. Forget about that, okay?
No, I just saw that. But here's my point. I never got an award.
What is it about you getting an award?
What's it about me getting an award? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, hold on before you start, the gay bashing.
I'm not gay bashing, man.
Well, then just back off. And I'm a gay man. Now I got to start it all over again. I'm a gay man and I'm gay, right?
Yes, I do. And I've known that ever since you've been coming on this show.
All right. Why hasn't GLAAD given me an award for the reporting that I have done as a gay man and a gay journalist?
they haven't given you an award because you don't do a lot of reporting on gay issues. You do a lot of reporting on issues having to do...
Hold on, Phil. What's that? No, Shorty, take them out there. Deliver the papers where I told them. I just got a phone call from... They say that my column wasn't included in the paper tonight because it was an insert, and most of the paper boys are too tired, and they don't want to put all the inserts in, so they take mine. You know, I guess they wipe with it or something and throw it away. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that a column would be an insert.
Well, that's what they're doing with mine right now, because they thought GLAD didn't give me an award. Now they're using my column as if it's an insert, like I'm, you know, like I'm selling snowshoes or something.
All right. Okay. So you're not given an award by GLAD because you don't report on gay issues.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I represent the gay... I represent gay... First of all, I represent gay. I represent gay men. I represent gay journalists. And
all right, the five steps of gay, right?
Yeah. All right. Here, one of the things that I've done, as you know, Phil, is that I have taken gay bashing, and I have told the gay community we need to own it. There's no other gay reporter in the world that hides in alleys and beats gays up as they're coming out of bars. I do that. There's no other gay reporter in the world.
Whoa. What did you say?
I said there's no other gay reporter, gay man, or gay journalist in the world that hides in an alley, and when gays come out of a gay bar down in the gay section of town, they get beat up by another gay. I do that. Why? I'm going to tell you why.
You're beating up gay men.
Yes, but let me explain. If you allow me to explain why.
Go ahead.
Because I believe it's time for the gay community to take ownership of gay bashing the same way that black people took ownership of the N-word. So you neutralize it. It's not that bad. With black people using the N-word, then it doesn't sound that bad. If we would start beating ourselves up...
Are you listening to what you're saying, man?
Hold on. Don't start giving me your straight point of view. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You're straight.
But are you listening to what you're saying? You're saying that you want to take ownership of gay bashing, so you're hiding out in alleys and beating up gay guys?
As they come out of gay bars. And the other reason is because I am showing them this is what's going to happen to you. If we don't start toughening up around here and protecting ourselves, you're going to get beat. What's going to happen to you is what I'm about to do to you. So that's what I'll come out from behind, you know, I'll come out from behind a dumpster or wherever I am, and I'll say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and they'll look at me and they'll roll their eyes, and that really tightens my jaws. And then I'd say, okay, now I'm going to beat you up, even though I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, because we need to take ownership of gay bashing, and I want you to understand what's going to happen. Now, I've been doing that for a long time. The cops know I'm doing it. I've been arrested multiple times for beating gays up. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
And you want GLAD to give you an award for that?
Yes. Oh, I get it. You don't understand, do you?
Doug, I don't think there's anybody listening tonight that understands, including gay people that are listening. You want to take ownership of gay bashing.
The same way that black people took ownership of the N-word.
Right. So you want to go out and beat gays up yourself.
I'm not wanna. I've been doing it. I've been beating gays. You know, look. You said on the masthead of my column, it's gay, you know, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. I've been beating gays up since 1991, and that was something I was proud of. And
you were proud of that, huh? And so, what good have you done?
What good have I done? What I've done is I've educated gay people to what's going to happen. I'll walk up and say, "Hi, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm going to beat you up right now because you need to understand we got to own this."
Well, let me ask you something, as a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay.
Go ahead, shoot.
Would you allow yourself to get beat up?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there could beat me up. But, you know...
What if a straight guy beat you up?
No, it doesn't. No. Are you an idiot or something, man? Do you listen to what I'm saying?
Look, I don't like being called an idiot, Doug. I'm just asking you...
I'm not going to get beat up by a straight guy. That's gay bashing. I beat up gays. It ain't gay bashing. It's gay ownership. You know, as in, I just own you. But the bottom line is I've never been given an award by GLAD. And the reason is because they're jealous.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, the line went dead.
Let me double check it. Yeah, definitely, the line went dead. There's no green light on it.
Well, thank you very much. What? All
right, let me see. I'll go through the transcript. He said the reason why...
I know what he said. He said they're not giving him an award because they're jealous. Of what?
Probably because he the gay man, the gay journalist, he came up with the idea of beat up a gay.
Yeah, that's pretty original.
Original? That guy's, he's flipped. He's cuckoo. Take ownership of gay bashing, so I hide behind a dumpster, beat up gay people, and tell them, Anyway, Doug Danger on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank God we only have him on once a month. You know what? We ought to have Dr. Stone on more often and Doug just a once-a-month kind of thing, you know? We can call it Gay Night or Gay Man and Gay Journalist Night, and there's only one guest ever, and it's Doug. All right, we'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to this evening here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, wait a second, man. Man, that is not fair. You hung up on me.
No, I did not hang up on you. You hung up.
No, I didn't. You're gay bashing.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight as we lock out for another beautiful evening here from El Pacifico. A Dillinger pistol sold at auction for $95,600. A small pistol belonging to 1930s gangster John Dillinger has been sold at auction to a private collector for $95,600. And anyway, more than double the pre-sale estimate, the auction house said on Sunday. The Remington 41 caliber double Derringer was said to have been found hidden in one of Dillinger's socks when he's arrested in Tucson, Arizona in January of 1934, according to Dennis Lowe of Heritage Auction Galleries in Dallas. Yes, sure. Sure, Dennis, sure. Prove it. Really? You think that, and I'm supposed to believe you? Who are you? Anyway, I'm sure it's worth it. According to affidavits, the pistol, jeez.
Yeah, that's where you go to the bathroom.
Hold on for a minute. What did you say?
Ain't that where you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, isn't it?
No, I mispronounced the word pistol. I said pistol, where you go to the bathroom. According to affidavits, the pistol was given by the then Tucson sheriff to a probation officer and kept in the family until selling it in 1959. The owner, who wished to remain anonymous, his name is Bob Smith, sold it because he was in... No, of course, that's not his name. He's anonymous. Sold it because he was in declining health, according to Lowe. What's that got to do with anything? Maybe you need it. Maybe if your health declines so much, you might want to use it on yourself. Did you think about that, sir? No, you didn't. And because you're anonymous, you can't sue me for, you know, like slandering you. It had been expected to fetch about $35,000 to $45,000 at the auction on Saturday in Dallas. A private Los Angeles collector made the winning bid of $95,600. I am now prepared to tell you that it was me, Phil Hendry, who bought that pistol. Now, in Rome, that would be Italy, officials say a Swedish couple looking for the pristine waters of the popular island of Capri ended some 400 miles away in the northern industrial town of Capri after misspelling the destination on their car's GPS. No, actually, it's a town called Carpi. Angelo Giovanni, a spokesman for the Carpi Town Hall near Modena, said on Tuesday the couple drove into the main square last week and asked the local tourist office how to reach Capri's famed Blue Grotto Sea Cave. Giovanni said, "We thought they might mean a restaurant. Capri is an island. They did not even wonder why they didn't cross any bridges or take any boat." He said the couple, of course Americans, no they weren't, they didn't say, they were not identified. They arrived from Venice and later set off to their planned destination at the other end of the Italian peninsula after they realized that Capri is an island and they'd need to take a boat to get there. In Fountain Hills, Arizona, stun gun maker Taser International has unveiled its first new stun gun since 2003, a device that can shock three people without reloading. Older Taser models, now used by law enforcement agencies and civilians throughout the country, have to be reloaded after one shot, which can be a problem for an officer who's missed a target or has more than one suspect to subdue. I'm sure you understand. Taser, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, unveiled the new device at its annual conference Monday to hundreds of law enforcement officers and distributors. And in demonstrating it, they got three nuns from a local convent and said, okay, three convicts, bang, and stunned all three of the nuns. The conference also will include... No, they didn't. The conference also will include training on the new device. The new Taser costs $1,799 compared with $799 for the older device, so get them now while they're hot. Get them now, man, while they still work. In Oakland, California, Oakland police say a man impersonating a police officer tried to pull over a real undercover cop and was arrested.
Wow.
What's dumber, some cat trying to find the island of Capri and driving there, or some dumbass impersonating a cop trying to pull over somebody and he doesn't know it's an undercover cop? Police say 21-year-old Antonio Fernandez Martinez of Oakland was arrested on Wednesday in the Fruitvale District. Boy, is that an aptly named place. Because that's where all the fruits live. After trying to pull over an unmarked police car, Martinez was driving a Ford Crown Victoria outfitted with flashing lights, a microphone, and speakers. Martinez, a convicted car thief, will have his felony probation revoked and could face a prison term. Don't even ask why this guy who is, on parole is out there fooling around playing cop. The officer, Jim Beer, says Martinez probably thought he'd be an easy mark to rob. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Remember, philhendryshow.com for a downloadable, on-demand version of the audio of our show from tonight. Until tonight, we'll see you tonight.
Phil Hendry.